Blog Talk Radio.
The proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. Shalom to all my brothers and sisters the world over. Blessed to be experiencing the greatness of Yah. It's good knowing Yah. I'm from Tacoma and always seeking the fellowship for the reason of knowing the difference of Hebrew and Eve. And I'm reaching out to y'all. Hit me up on the cell. Write me an email, but keep the knowledge on the DL. You know they listening to our transmissions, but only key words catching attention. So speak to me in the cold unknown to these soulless monkeys. Let the game unfold. We gon' show these. They can't stop us from learning the true words of Yah. Even though they keep a secrets up in Vatican City, I want the spirit of wisdom and understanding up in me. Give praise to Yah if you feel me. What I need right now from you is a scripture too. We got a lot of work to do. I'm trying to gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause I'm here, we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no sign, stop the fussing. We can solve it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Those that speak about Yah are written in the book of remembrance. So why you waiting? Come and study with me. We have been bamboozled, everything that fools do. Some Hebrews are gap and act like it's usual activities of life, but they done learned the wrong teaching. Those of us that know Yah should start speaking up. They beating us. Look what they're doing. Knocking on doors with their negative knowledge. They are recruiting. I know the scriptures say only a remnant will make it. But it's hard standing still knowing the punishments they're facing. I'm sick of these masons using their black magic to control how my people are thinking. It's tragic. That's why we need to sit down, combine thoughts, write up some literature, and spread it around. There's a plague out there, and only Yah is cure. And if we witness to our people, then there won't be no more. They have to suffer for giving praises to the many false deities this beast has created. I show hate.
I'm trying to gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause admit we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no signs, stop the fussing. We can solve it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Don't just speak about Yah or written in the book of remembrance. So why you waiting? Come and study with me. I'm trying to gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause admit we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no sign, stop the fussing. We can solve it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Those that speak about Yah are written in the book of remembrance. So why you waiting? Come and study with me.
I've been called everything from a blasphemist to a constitutionalist, new revolutionist. I know they ready to label me as a terrorist, cause I ain't too big on calling myself American. I'm a Hebrew, descendant of Shem, all the way down to Jacob. I'm living for them. Y'all gave the laws to Moses and said it would never end, but in 2003, we still living in sin, and it's a shame. It's not like we can't change. Instead of trying to learn the scriptures, we live them in vain. So many habits in our brain that we won't let go. Then we teach them to our children, continuing the cycle. I can't stand these Muslims, Christians and Jews that don't pay close attention to the things they do. But since we know a little better than them, we need to use these computers and start writing letters to them.
I'm trying to gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause admit we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no sign, stop the fussing. We can solve it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Those that speak about Yah are written in the book of remembrance. So why you waiting? Come and study with me.
Come and study with me. I said the proof is in the scriptures. The proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me.
Welcome to African Aramean Scriptures with Brother Asraif Charles. Tonight we're continuing a lesson discussion on our presentation on Messiah, and this is the second episode. The first one we discussed the ancient Canaanite, Aramaic, Hebrew, and Gaz pictographic morphology of the term Messiah, as well as the application and context in which it appeared in the Israelite scriptures. In this episode, we discuss HaMishkah, that is, the Messiah, his function, and the euphemism, and finally, his identity as Yahweh, or Yahweh. as pronounced by most people. Some of the earliest verses where the term Messiah can be found, one of which, and that is, well, not just found that just in terms of Messiah, but Messiah as a judge or witness is one location. I think it would be the easiest to locate is the 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 5. In this particular scenario, Samuel is testifying to his faithfulness to the Israelites as to how he had never taken advantage of them or taken bribes of anything to himself. And he says in this passage, he said, and he said to them, that is Samuel, as Yahweh is my witness against you, and his anointed is, or that is literally his Messiah is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. And they said, he is witness. Now, his anointed. Now, Samuel also wears the holy oil, the anointing oil, and so does his sons. And David was also, David had worn it at the time, but and many other judges were wearing the oil. But this anointed of which Samuel is speaking of is one that will know secrets, one that will know things that ordinary men do not know. And he is able to not only testify to the validity and truthfulness of Samuel's message, but also he is able to condemn. Because if he's not telling the truth, he knows that, and the audience knows that the anointed one, the Messiah, HaMashiach, will be able to punish in this particular matter. Matter of fact, Rashi, as Rabbi Shalom ben Yitzhak, medieval French rabbi, was one of the few commentators that would interpret this passage as it is delivered and as we do here. And he says in the stone edition of the Chumash that a heavenly voice testified the accuracy of Samuel's remarks. Now, that's not unlikely either, because we know that when Moses was on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, and the Israelites heard the voices, plural, speaking, giving the commandments, and our forefathers said, "We do not, could you know, we not want to hear the voice. Could you speak? You meaning Moses speak to the Most High to us and tell us what they say?" And we read in the Gospels that Yeshua, when he is baptized, a voice from heaven is heard by a multitude, an audience of onlookers, saying, "This is my son I've begotten," and so having a heavenly voice come and testify the credibility of a matter is not unheard of amongst the ancient Israelites. So though Solomon ben Yitzhak doesn't exactly know, it is not unlikely either. Okay. And the next passage is, okay, it's from, I think, Psalm chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And this psalmist, we presume David is the writer here. The passage is as follows. "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh," or Yahweh, "and his Messiah, saying, let us break their bonds apart and cast away their cords or attachments from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and Yahweh," or Yahweh, "holds them in derision." So, we have Yahweh identified with the Messiah, and Yahweh, and his Messiah is going to laugh at the rebellion or arrogance of the nations. And this is the era we're in now. We, you know, in the last century, we had the the Caucasian, the European, boasting at the construction of their Titanic ship. And if you know, Titanic was the name of an old race of deities that was worshipped among the Greeks. And they claimed that God himself ship. Now, the European is in direct rebellion against the Most High. I mean, that is no mistake. They commit unconscionable sins, and they dare the creators to judge them, to hold them accountable, to arrest them. And this passage foretells that from, you know, it's about, I know it's like maybe, I would say this is about 3,000 years ago. This passage was written, and it's most appropriate to our time today, because 3,000 years ago, people, you didn't have to have a united, well, I'm not going to say there was a confederacy of nations, but this kind of arrogance was not heard of amongst people in that time. I believe this, from what we've seen written in ancient writings, the kind of arrogance that is depicted in this passage, the second Psalm, chapter verse 2-4, is unique to our era. And lastly, in this section on the Messiah as judge and witness, we have a passage from Revelation verse 17 and verse 14. It says, "They will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called chosen and faithful." Now, this is direct connection to the Psalms verse we just read previously, how they are actually planning the war against the creators. And the Revelation passage tells the outcome of that war. Well, as a matter of fact, it says in the Psalm, tell you the outcome of war. Tell you he's going to laugh at them and hold them in derision. So you get the idea they're going to make war. Well, the war will take place, and we already know the location in other passages at the mountain of Megiddo. And this is another, this revisits that previous theme that they will make war with him. The reason why we're having discussion, again, is to discuss the Messiah. In a previous episode, we covered the name, what it meant, how there are many messiahs. But now we're getting into a specific Messiah. This is just not, in some cases, a specific prophet, not just a prophet or Messiah, an anointed one of flesh, of usual human genealogy. But this is one of a most ancient heritage, a most ancient origin. Okay, now we'll get into the idea of the Messiah being the hope of the promise. And we can start, scroll down a little bit, in Genesis chapter, okay, well, the hope of the promise, we'll pick seed of the promise, not hope of the promise, excuse me. In his Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, "And I will cause hostility between you," that is the serpent, "and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head." Now, interesting, in the Hebrew, it had, the word is zarah. And zarah is singular for seed. But, I left out the inflections. The suffix is, has a kaf sound, so it means, it would say the house is between your, between you and her seed. So the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent is your seed and her seed. But they, in this English paraphrase that I'm reading, they don't, it's not in a literal translation, but it says your seed and her seed. So it's not seeds in plural, like many offspring, many generations, and many people. It is a specific head. So if you look back at what we were talking about in Revelation, that seed being the beast, or this false Messiah, the son of perdition, is the one against the one whom the Messiah will be fighting. And in the next passage, from Acts chapter 26, the promise has been revealed. And Paul is standing in the court room before Felix, the governor of Caesarea or Judea, in Judea, and he has to give a he has to give his own defense before he's going sent off to Rome, and in his mentioning of the Messiah and what the Messiah means to Israel, he says, Acts 26, verse 6 and 7. He says, "Now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes, the 12 houses, hope to attain as they earnestly worship day and night." So, he's saying, you know it, that the Messiah is everything. The Messiah is the fullness of Yahweh. And this is basically, and at the time, the temple of Yahweh was on the mountain, on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. And he's saying, why he's saying worship day and night, because the rituals, the fire must be kept burned, ignited on the altar constantly. They're constantly doing rituals all night long, all day long. And so he's saying that this is the reason why everybody's doing it. We're doing this around the clock, year after year, century after century, and it's because of the Messiah, the Anointed One. Because there are many anointed ones. I think John G. Jackson is famous for a book he penned called Christianity Before Christ, and saying how there were so many Christs in Egypt, but there was only one Christ in Judaism. Well, no, there were many Christs, many Messiahs, but there is only one unique Messiah. As Scripture says, it's the uniquely begotten Son of God. This is a unique Son, it's a unique prophet, and a unique Messiah. So this is a very special thing, and many fail to understand, or they are just enemies of righteousness. And they may understand, but they are against the creators of heaven and earth. So you have to also take that into account. Now, this hope of the promise, we can continue this theme here in Acts chapter 9, verse 27. Barnabas, son of Nabas, that's the name of one of Paul's companions on his tribute, colleague, if you will. He's giving testimony, and here it says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen Yahweh," or Yahweh, as most people pronounce it. This is what's written in the text. Now, we're going to look at Acts 22. We're going to hear his own rendition. He had seen Yahweh. That he's talking about Shaul. Or Paul, had seen Yahweh, and who spoke to him. He said, no, Yahweh who spoke to Saul or Paul, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Yahushua. So Yahweh appeared to Paul, identified himself as Yahushua. And there you go. Acts chapter 22, verse 6 through 8. "As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus," or Damascus, "about noon, a light, great light from heaven suddenly shone around me." This is Paul giving his testimony, firsthand testimony. "And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Shaul, Shaul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you?" Adon, because that means Lord or Master. He's saying, who are you, Master? And he said to me, I am Yahushua ben Nazareth. I said it in Hebrew, because, but in English they would say, I am Yeshua of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. He said, he's receiving the action of the persecution. Yeshua, even though the faithful people who are being persecuted, whose Paul was, Shaul was hunting at the time, he was accounting to himself. When you're persecuting them, you're persecuting the Messiah himself. And the Messiah himself identified in chapter 9 as Yahweh. So this Messiah is a unique Messiah from all the other Messiah, from the high priest, from the judges, from the Sanhedrin, from the Kohen Hagadol, from the king, the queens, the prophets, the seers. All of those are anointed too. But we're talking about one Messiah. So people say, I believe in, I'm Jewish and I believe in this him, but I don't believe in the Messiah. Or Messiah is Haile Selassie and all that. That's another Messiah. That, and there's another passage which we won't cover today, but that is not the Messiah preached by Peter or Simon Kepha, Yohanan, and Shaul. So the Messiah that was preached by the pillars of the faith did not prophesy that kind of Messiah. There are other Messiahs, but this is a unique Messiah. Haile Selassie is a kind of Messiah. He's a king. Of course, he's anointed, but he's not this one. So, I know some sects of Rastafari do consider Haile Selassie Yahweh, and some don't. So there is some division amongst them concerning this. But, and we continue. Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Is another passage. This is Shimon Kepha speaking on who the Messiah is. In this particular chapter, he is preparing to go and give he may have already done the visit. He was getting ready to go and give a private lesson, private testimony to a Roman Italian, a white man, who was a centurion. He's a captain of 100 men. And this man was a fear of the Most High, and he had prayed. Most High appeared to this man and had him to send emissaries or messengers to Shimon Kepha in order that he may come to their house and give the testimony of Yahushua, and so that they may receive the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Spirit of Truth. And that would give them extraordinary psychic gifts as well as a divine presence within them. That is what would happen as a result of this meeting. But as Shimon Kepha was preparing for this meeting, he gave this testimony in Acts chapter 10, verse 36. He said, "As for the word that he sent to Israel, or Yisrael, preaching good news of shalom, peace." Shalom, peace, which means wellness, wholeness, and fullness and well-being. So he preached the good news of peace through Yahushua, which means salvation of Yahweh, or salvation of Yahweh, more accurately. HaMashiach, the Messiah, is the fullness of Yahweh, or the fullness of Yahweh. So that's Paul. Kepha just told you, if you don't know what the Messiah is, that's what he is right there. He is the fullness of Yahweh in the flesh. And Yeshua said it himself. He said, "I am the Father. One, he who seen me has seen the Father." That's what he's talking about. And so is Kepha backing him up right here on Acts chapter 10. Now, I'm sure many of you have been in church, been to synagogue, been to many kinds of camp meetings, what have you, and they probably have never looked at that. Now, that's what it is. Now, it's been translated, that last clause where it says fullness of Yahweh, they'll say he's Yahweh of all. Like, what does that mean? But looking at the terms, I translated that myself because it's clear, it's coherent. The other way, it's ambiguous, and it renders the passage impotent. Now, I have a few more here, which I think is about 9:30. I'll probably save them for a fourth installment. And we'll just do, a third installment. And we'll save those for probably next week. Because I want to, I guess I can leave so you can marinate on this. And we'll continue this series of the Messiah we represent in one more installment. And we hope you have enjoyed that. Hope that has been of some benefit to you in your growth, in your understanding, your bina, and give you greater wisdom, chokmah, in navigating the ancient writings so we won't be confused about what Messiah means and what the Messiah's function is. Okay, and Shavua Tov. And Laila Toes. Have a good week and good night.